Our lesson tonight is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Paul writes to the church there, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Have you ever known anyone that was not too coordinated? Vince, don't look at Katie. She can't help for falling off the toy box. She couldn't help tripping over the root going down the hill, breaking an arm. She couldn't help slipping on the ice and falling underneath the school bus. She's gotten better. She can walk and chew gum now at the same time. I'm talking about folks whose hand and eye coordination are not where they need to be. I'm not talking about you, Katie. I'll stop there. It's the ones that don't pay attention to what's going on around them. They will walk down the street and walk right into a telephone pole or a street sign, paying attention to what is going on around us is something that we train ourselves to do. We begin by looking to make sure the way is safe. How many of our parents have yelled after our kids to stop before they run out into the street? Paul is teaching to the church in Ephesus. And what he's teaching is something that is very powerful, but it is also very practical. Paul says to them in the text, basically, watch your step and use your head. The idea of our spiritual walk is very common in the New Testament. We have a whole lot of different phrases that we find there. We are told to walk in the Spirit, to walk by faith, to walk in the newness of life, to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, to walk in the light, and a lot of other walking phrases. But the idea of walking is that of our spiritual journey in this life. It is forward progress. But we will never, ever fully reach the end point in this life. We will always be walking until the grave. Life is a walk, and so is our spiritual life. You know, it's not really a bad question to ask someone, how is your walk with the Lord going? You know, sometimes it might be better and maybe even shorter than asking, how are you doing? Because this is a real question. It is a big question. It is a question about our spiritual life and our spiritual health. In verses 15 and 16, Paul says in Ephesians 5, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil." If we watch the news on a regular basis, how much of what we hear and see is good news? If you... Like, typically I watch NBC News if I watch the news. And they have 25 minutes of bad news, and then they have one little spot at the end. Something good, something positive. That's sad. That is really sad. Because we truly are living in evil times, and we can never deny that. And just as the church that Paul was writing to were living in evil times, it seems to follow mankind around. And because we are surrounded by these evil influences, Paul is trying to remind them to be watchful, be mindful about our spiritual life. If we get sick, if we see our health is declining, we go and seek help. But it does us absolutely no good to see the doctor, but never heed his advice in anything. We will do what is necessary so that we can keep going. But are we intentional about our growing spiritually and using the spiritual disciplines that can help us? You know, we give a lot of lip service to spiritual ideas. How many times have we set aside, we say, well, I'm going to set aside so much time each day to read the Bible. I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm going to be more involved with our congregation. I'm going to be, as the best of my ability, make sure I'm at every service. And while these things may work in the short time, how does it work in us putting that regimen into the long term? So many times we fail. Paul is begging the brethren here to think about their spiritual life, to make the best use of their time because of what they are facing on a daily basis. And what we face on a daily basis, if we are true to ourselves, can be very alluring. So it is then that Paul directs a path for them with the words that we find in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Do I understand what God's will is? Do I understand what things in my life need to be eliminated? What things in my life need to grow? Do we truly understand what it means to be saved and to walk in grace? Do we understand what it means to be holy? Paul, in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, he told the Christians there to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, not to man, but to God. Not to conform to the world, but to be transformed. And how do we do that? By renewing our minds, by getting rid of the filth that's in there before and putting the good things in it. We need to change the way we think. We need to change what we think. The fact of the matter is that as Christians, we should know what God's will is. We may not know every particular thing about that life, but we sure know God's will for how to live our life. We must never get caught up in what we do not know. We need to try living out the things that we do know. Take our regimen from God and live that regimen. This year we bought a tree, a live tree that we were going to decorate at Christmas time with the thoughts that we would have a tree that we could decorate for at least 5 or 6 years before it outgrew the house. Trying to look at what do you feed pine trees? All we could think of was water and sunlight. Well, I've got one little green patch on that palm pine tree, and the rest is all brown and gone. No needles left. So we're going to plant that tree at the landfill. You see, we need to understand what it is we need to be able to grow strong. We need to know where those nutrients come from. We need to feed on the will of God, and we need to starve out the works of the flesh. We need to be that living sacrifice. That is what we need to be transformed with, and it needs to be transformed with from within. We need to test everything that we come across with God's Word, and then live in truth and freedom, grace and glory. Can you imagine a nation where its constitution was the Bible? Can you imagine a nation in which the head or the president of that country is God Almighty? Can you imagine the peace and tranquility that we would be living in if our nation could be transformed that way? That type of life, a life that is filled with the Spirit of God, is intoxicating. The last verses, 18 through 21 of Ephesians 5. Paul writes, "Do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." If I was to pick out an illustration to define what it is like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, probably wouldn't have gone with the word drunkenness. But that's exactly what Paul does. The message, in essence, puts it this way. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge drafts of Him. A.W. Tozer was a Christian preacher. I don't know exactly what denomination he came from. But he had a personal observation, and while the observation may be extreme, there is some truth into what he says. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and on, and no one would know the difference. Friends, we are to produce fruits of the Spirit. And it's just not us working on those aspects. It is us actually living the will of God so deeply that those aspects come out of us. Galatians 5 and verse 22, the first word that Paul says as far as the fruit is love. We cannot and we must not force our love on others. But we must view love the way God views love. I can't come out and say to you, I love you, when I'm in my heart, I'm saying I can't stand you. That's not how God looks at us. God's love simply flows out. And that's the way it should be with us. That is drinking the Spirit. You know, most everyone understands what happens when a person lives in that sinful state of drunkenness all the time. It destroys the aspects of life. It destroys relationships. Paul compares that life with one that is filled with the Holy Spirit. The life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. The one where God's word rules the heart is where we find joy in God, where it is the place to where our life is basically an ongoing song in our heart that continually lifts us up. They are people who genuinely submit to others because they know that Christ is the King. And they also know that they don't always have to be in control. It is a fulfilled life instead of a life that is miserable. God has saved us. Let's admit that fact. And God wants us to live a life that is abundant. And He wants us to live a life with purpose. He wants us to experience the joy that only when we live in Him, instead of trying to live in ourselves. The life we lead may not be free from sin or sadness, but we can lead a life that will be free from guilt and the burden that sin brings. Living the life He desires us to live is something we need to really focus on. Get out of ourselves and get into Him. And our life will be much more enjoyable. The burdens we face will be much lighter because we know we do not go them through them alone. If you're a child of God tonight and you need our prayers or you need to make things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you're not a child of God tonight. Maybe it is something you desire and you want to do. For repentance and confession, through New Testament baptism, you can be added to the Lord's church. You can begin this life anew, filled with the Spirit. And as a congregation, we will work with you and help you in your walk and allow you to get those sturdy feet so that one day we will all reside in the mansions that Christ has built. If there's anyone here that needs the invitation, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.